Anchor at the Fox News Channel, and now co-host of Cowboy Logic Radio, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today's show is going to be, I think, a call to action. We have about 2 weeks almost, or a little bit over, a little less than 2 weeks before we have a day of reckoning. I mean, this is no joke. This is not an election that people need to sit home and eat bonbons and see what happens, or basically blow it off, because our future is at stake. I title this show Politics. Politics may get you killed is kind of the short version of it. But we're seeing things happen and unfold in the past, at least 6 years, 8 years, that are now going to come home to roost. This show concentrates on medicine, but this is beyond medicine. This is the quality of your life. This is your freedom. This is your privacy. This is everything that should matter to you as American citizens. Let's talk about this Affordable Care Act for a second. It has been a focal point in my existence because as a physician, I'm on the front line, and every day is a struggle. It's much more difficult taking care of my patients, paying my bills, keeping my doors open than it's ever been. And I know that when this next shoe drops, this next iteration, the next round of Obamacare is going to be far worse than it is now. They're admitting that medical costs are going to rise 6.5%, but in reality, it's going to be much higher than that. I've been on talk shows talking about my experience as an independent physician with the changes in the health care bill. And I've said things, and this is true. I mean, we may have a ton of new appointments on the schedule, but when it comes down to the day that you're supposed to see them, a fraction actually keep their appointments or are able to go through the medical recommendations that the visit generates. And it's all because of money. It's not because patients don't want to get health care. They can't afford it. We've gone from collecting copays back in 2001 that were as low as $5 up to $25 to now having patients needing to meet their deductible or their out-of-pocket costs before the copays kick in. I mean, and this happened within months. So the beginning of the year, this was completely different. Around July, everything hit the fan and we're just as shocked as the patients. At one point, we had a patient scheduled for surgery. She delayed it for personal reasons, and she came back to do it. And within that time period, her deductible went from $400 to $6,000. That's insanity. It's not even the end of the year. And she thought, like we did, oh, they'll make the change, but it'll be January 1st effective. It was the middle of October. I mean, she didn't even know. If she got caught with her pants down, literally, and got stuck, on the hook for a bill that she didn't even know that she incurred, and neither did we until we got the explanation of benefits. This is what they do. They don't give you forewarning. They just change things. As a doctor's office, to know that you're supposed to bill something a certain way, and then within the month, not be told, but send your charge in, and then not get it paid for some arbitrary change, some arbitrary additional code that you need to put on, an add-on that totally negates the bill or the charge, is outrageous. And you have to wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks now, up to 6 weeks for an average claim to be paid. Where in the past, and under Georgia law, it's supposed to be within 2 weeks, that's not happening anymore. So you've gone from expecting a relatively reasonable standard cash flow to feast or famine. Mostly famine, by the way. So by the time you get paid, you are so behind in everything else that it's just playing catch up. So this is putting doctors and patients at risk. This is putting the availability of good doctors in the pool for giving health care. It's taking them out of the game. And as soon as people find that they can't see their doctor anymore, not because of the Affordable Care Act, because they no longer exist, because their practices have gone out of business, then they're going to start to wake up. But what we've done, what this whole health care bill has done, has concentrated the power of health care delivery to a few huge players. And bigger is not better. It's not better in banking. It's not better in anything, any business. And it's certainly not better in medicine. So now you have big conglomerate hospitals who control the healthcare market. And we see this in Georgia, for example, where two of the biggest hospitals now have their own insurance company. They've pooled their resources. They've now privatized their insurance so that people who go there have to carry that particular hospital's insurance. You can't use it anywhere else. You can't go to any other hospital out of the system. You can't go to a doctor who's not within their, quote, network. And so what it does is it cuts down your choice. And it also keeps prices artificially high. Because if you're the only game in town, you can do whatever you like. You can make the price whatever you want because people have nowhere else to go. And not only have they done that to the patients, they've done it to their workers. So I speak with nurses and other people on staff within the hospital system, and they're employees, and they can't afford to use the health care. So when you hear this mantra that the Affordable Care Act is working, that we have, 11 million people. I'm not sure that's true, but be that as it may, we have all these people in the Affordable Care Act, and it's working because healthcare costs have come down. You need to understand that healthcare costs have come down because people can't afford to use the healthcare. You're carrying the most expensive piece of plastic in your pocketbook or your pocket than you can imagine. So when you spend $400 or $500, $900, $1,200, $1,500 for a family in your premiums, good luck affording the health care that you may need down the road. The other side of this coin is they've rigged the game on this thing. They've delayed things that were unpopular. They lied about the costs. This is all going to fall on our face after the election. Everything's geared to, like a jack-in-the-box pop out after the election. So I've got friends, again, who are getting their next round of insurance, paperwork, and they've gone from $300 or $400 a month now to $600. Their deductibles have gone up. They realize that, when this thing comes around, I'm not going to be able to afford insurance. And my opinion, which I don't think I'm alone, is this is all design. This is all by design because they want people to be priced out, especially small employers. They want them to be priced out so they let their employees go into the exchange because they need the warm blood in these exchanges to make them run, to prop up this Ponzi scheme. I don't know if you watch, CNBC and the Scoundrels, Greed, and whatever that show is. It's the same principle. You get new suckers to come into this Ponzi scheme to prop it up. But the ultimate end point of this is a big fail. It's never going to work. You can look down the road to the European countries, to Canada, to Sweden, all of the things that the progressives say are fabulous, and they're killing people left and right with euthanasia. They are restricting the types of health care that doctors can deliver, and people have to wait forever. So by the time they finally do get in, they're either too sick to appreciate it, they're at the end point of the disease where they could have been helped far earlier. I mean, we have a situation in the Netherlands where they kill people who have mental ailments. They're killing people with dementia. This is not hospice anymore, people. This is, we decide who live and die. We know better than you. This is a nanny state from hell. I couldn't believe when I read the Liverpool Pathway in England where they were withholding food and water from terminally ill patients. That's bad enough. But for someone to decide that someone who's able-bodied but may have a mental condition, that they decide, you're demented, you're not worthy anymore, and they just, stick a needle in you, is unconscionable. And they call that medicine. I'm not sure what those doctors practice, but it cannot be the Hippocratic Oath, because the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. This is not allowed under standard medicine. And for people to be fooled or somehow goaded into the belief that every man for himself, if you're senior or you're not able to provide any kind of benefit to society because you're too old, you've outlived your usefulness, and you know they're going to come for, you're too young, you're never going to be part of the system, so why put resources in you? That's the next step. As soon as they desensitize people to the seniors, they're coming for the young people, for the children, for the kids in the NIC, in the NICU. that's where they're coming for. Or they might now decide that they want to test children in utero, and if they haven't affected a disorder, then just abort it. This is craziness, and this is not a healthcare system that's built on health anymore. It's built on control. It's built on everything about the money, and it's built on the government having their tentacles, their fingers in everything that you do, every choice you make. It's not just about you and your choice anymore and your doctor's choice. It's about what the government deems to be important and necessary. It's time to wake up and stop expecting someone to take care of you. Don't expect the government to take care of you. This is a whole Ebola situation. It's very hard to watch as a knowledgeable person who reads, who goes beneath, you know, pulls back the cover of the mantra of, you can't get it, it's really hard to get. You can sit on a bus next to somebody and never get it. And in the next breath say, you shouldn't get on a, tell the person who's affected, you shouldn't get on a bus with people because you might infect them. This is total doublespeak, 1984, Brave New World nonsense. I suggest everybody listening to this broadcast, read a book called The Hot Zone by Robert Preston. That is it's the manifesto that will actually help you understand what Ebola really is. It's a true story, and it's about monkeys who were, you know, brought into Reston, Virginia in a lab situation, and Ebola broke out within that testing population, and they were all in different rooms, and every monkey came down with Ebola. So it actually was airborne in that instance, and it's called Reston Ebola virus. That's the strain of that. So when they tell you nothing can ever happen, and it's absolute, and fear-mongering, and you're demonizing this and that, do your due diligence. Nothing is absolute, especially when it comes to nature. So who knows what nature can do? We have a living... Well, actually, virus is not a living organism. It's just a really potent killing machine, basically, looking for a host. And when it finds that host, it can change. This Ebola virus at this point has changed from what's been documented in the past. From 1979 to this point, this is not the same virus. It was so toxic, it killed people so quickly. Dozens of people died at a time, and then it would go away. We're now into, what, the sixth or seventh month of this? It's gone through more than one country. The incubation period used to be about 7 days. It's now 21 days if you listen to the CDC, but I suggest you start reading the World Health Organization information, because I think they're on the front line and they're telling the truth. They've estimated that in 95% of people, the incubation period is 21 days, up to 21 days. But in 98%, so in 2% of the population, it goes up to 42 days. So we're being told that 21 days, you know, nothing to see here, move along, everything's great. But in actuality, maybe these people should be kept in an isolated situation for 6 weeks, for 42 days. I don't know what's going to happen. And I think that we need to be prepared. That's not fear-mongering. That's handling your business. That's taking care of yourself, and that's being proactive, because this is not something that you want to play catch-up with. They make it sound like it's Disneyland out there, where, oh, everybody will survive from it. Only one person passed away from it. Only two people were infected. That's three people too many in this country. It didn't have to happen that way. And it's still, we're playing Russian roulette, because we have 150 people, they estimate, coming in from affected countries every day. That changes the math on this, in my opinion. And when we return from the break, we'll go more over exactly how I think people should protect themselves.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold, and avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is Donna Fiducia, co-host of Cowboy Logic Radio, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Every time I watch any official get on TV and talk about the Ebola, I cringe because what they're saying is not accurate. It's, at the very least, it's playing catch-up. First, the guidelines, the cartoon guidelines from the CDC were laughable. You don't have to cover your head. You don't have to cover your feet. You don't have to cover your neck. You can go into these rooms without a respirator. No wonder the hospital in Dallas did them, because there's no standard guideline how to handle this. But if you were really paying attention, all you'd have to do is look at what was going on TV. I haven't seen any healthcare worker on the front line in Africa uncovered, not one bit of skin exposed. Why would that be different here in America? I mean, critical thinking skills really, really need to come into play now. This is a life and death situation. And the fact that they would pick this person as a czar, this political operative, is such a disdain for the American. I cannot even begin to tell you. You should be up in arms. This man, not only is a political operative lobbyist with ties to that Solyndra fiasco, but I read yesterday that he's also into overpopulation, especially in Africa. Like, it's a bad thing and it needs to be controlled. That is not the person that should be a czar with something that's 70% lethal. What's his agenda? Why, he has no medical experience, but he has experience in talking about how, you know, there's climate change and the world is overpopulated. Well, this is a perfect antidote for overpopulation, given its letting it run the path of its least resistance. And I'm a little bit concerned, to put it mildly, that person is running the show. Where everybody who has said something of import has been demonized, it seems to me that these agencies are standing down. Instead of ramping up, they're standing down. And the media is complicit. It's like a blackout on Ebola. What happened to the nurse that got admitted into the Atlanta, to Emory a couple of days ago? My office manager told me that she was discharged. I hope that's not true. Okay, good. Because we just don't know. These people go into these sinkholes and then you'd never hear again. And that's where the problem lies as well. Spotty information, partial truths. And what are people going to do? They're going to get concerned and get alarmed. And maybe that's also what's wanted. I mean, we have an election coming on. Maybe that's their October surprise. But I say, don't fall for the trap. Don't play the game. And really think about your future and your child's future. The enterovirus that we talked about a few weeks back, it didn't exist for years in this country. What is the common point that happened? An influx of young children into the public school system who were unchecked. They told us they did not have the manpower to do medical evaluations on these kids. What do you think is going on if you know that that virus is endemic in Central America? They're not going to show it. They're not ill with it, but they're carriers of it. We've never seen it. What do you think happens when this happens? It's like a medical onslaught of various diseases being brought to our shore, and we're playing roulette. I take exception to that. I think every American should. And I don't think we should sit here and just take it anymore. It's time to start standing up. If you don't, they will run over you. I applaud the people, the nurses in Spain, who stood up after the nurse got infected by the priest. They made such a stink that the government reversed their policies and started getting on the ball really quickly. Of course, our government rarely listens to us, but you know what? They understand voting. And now we have the power of the voting stick. You know, if we let these guys know that we're not going to play this game, you can't use the same playbook. If I see one more Willie Horton ad, I'm going to scream. I mean, do they really think black people are so stupid that they can just wave, you know, small little children holding a placard with someone's hands up and give us the imagery of Ferguson? And if you don't vote Democratic, you're going to be killed. It's just, it's unbelievable. Where, on the other hand, the people who are progressive want this immigration bonanza to continue. And if you really think about this in the long run, it will disenfranchise black people disproportionately. They're going to lose their jobs because if it's a skill set and they're looking for labor they can pay less to, they're going to go to the newest people in town, the immigrants who are desperate and will do whatever job you want for whatever price. And that hurts every single American. And these children are not ending up in private schools. They're ending up in public schools, bringing whatever they have with them, whether that's cultural changes, medical, you know, putting you at medical risk. It's going to be kids in the working class and black children, because that's who's in the public school system. They already said the majority of the public school system is black and brown. So who would that affect more than anybody else? You know, it's one hand saying one thing, and reality is you don't have a job, you don't have hope, but you're told that you need to continue the same course because we have the answer. I think all you have to do is look at Detroit, Chicago, and any of these progressive cities to figure out what the answer is. It's time to really start voting for what's going to improve things, not what they say they're going to do. Just look at what they've done. They've ruined whole states. California used to be a great state. Now it's a pit. I mean, really. And people are leaving it in droves. And I don't know if you saw the state, but there was a poll that said if we can get rid of a state, if we can cut a state out of the union, which one would it be? Guess which one people wanted to get rid of? First I thought it was Illinois for a hot second, but then I realized it had to be California. And there you go. Liberal is not, it's all semantics. It's all how they present it. These are the most intolerant, bigoted, racist, sexist, hate human beings that I've ever seen. It's okay to abort ad nauseum. It's okay to euthanize because it's awesome. It's okay to inject your child without letting you know. I can't believe that what they do and what they say are so opposite, and they're able to push this agenda as if they're sweetness and light. It's like, it's amazing. I mean, people really, really need to wake up and stop listening to the rhetoric, but follow the actions. Follow the money, and you'll really realize, no matter what color you are, we're on the wrong track. And we're in a position now where if we don't get rid of these people, they will rig the system so they'll never be, you know, shoehorned out. It's terrible. And I don't understand why the supposed opposition just sits there and takes it, doesn't do a thing. I don't know if this is chicken. You know, they're trying to let the progressive, implode, and then they'll win overwhelmingly, and then they'll make a change, which I don't know what your opinion on that is. Maybe, is that the game plan, do you think?
I think the game plan is, just like you said, they want to take over everything, rule everything, and that starts by states, but then it also, they want to divide us. We are so far removed, in my opinion, from where we were 6 years ago. And, you know, it's never going to be perfect. I accept that. But relationships are relationships, and getting along with people, and they have divided, and I say they, the Obama administration. The comments by Holder have been, how divisive can you get? And as I mentioned many years ago, or I say many years ago, 5 or 6 years, you know, I looked at it like I've always been against Obama. Don't mind admitting that. But I thought at the same token, if this guy is real, he could do more than any president we'd ever had. But he's gone the other way, and everything's. And so what are they doing? Yeah, I think it's a plan of division, a plan to take over, a plan to give up whatever rights. This thing, like I mentioned to you in Detroit, give our country to the UN. And I think people are going to stand up and fight.
I think we have no choice at this point. I mean, everything about the system doesn't work. I mean, we're seeing the mantra of the bigger the government is, the better it is. And that's not true. The healthcare system doesn't work. The banking system doesn't work. The education system doesn't work. Our military is being taken apart wholesale. Absolutely. I saw an interesting show last night with, I don't know if you've ever seen it, it's James Gandolfini did a documentary on soldiers who were injured during the Iraq War, and it was 10 of them. And each one went into the war with the feeling, I want to help my country, I want to do the right thing. I can't even imagine what they're thinking now, knowing that every gain that they just sacrificed a body part or a life for has been given back. I mean, they let people out of prison who are part of the problem, kingpins of this thing, and they're losing ground. They've lost whole sections of Iraq where they spilled blood for, and it's like it's okay. This is crazy. I don't know, if I were a service member, I would be just outraged and appalled. And while they keep demonizing them, like they're the problem. That's just sick. It's wrong. And the VA situation is even more disgusting and heinous. Just think about the VA for a second. It seems like it only would affect soldiers, but that's what we're all going towards. That is what the healthcare system will be. It's carrots to keep the people quiet. It's carrots to keep your numbers high. It is cronyism and bureaucracy in action. And this is, we talk a lot about, you know, is it socialism? Is it what? It's a combination of fascism and socialism. And I think that equals collectivism is what this is. Centralized Politburo, people who never did a day's work in their life, academics who are proselytizing about how they know, just like watching these morons get up on the CDC or these talk about Ebola as if they know. It's just, I'll give you one example before we go to break. Frieden, before they changed the protocol, I remember watching this on TV, the newscaster asked, so it's okay for people to have no head cover, no shoe covered, go into a patient, they're treating Ebola, and that's okay, that's going to be safe? He goes, absolutely. And then there's a picture of him in the next day, suited up, head to toe, when he was out there in West Africa, touring one of the Ebola sites. Either it's dereliction, it is malignant, or it's really stupid. I can't figure out which one it is. But it's okay for you to suit up, but not to tell the rest of healthcare workers and people that they need to protect themselves. I mean, it's like right there, and you're just lying wholesale to me while you do the opposite. And if you say it loud enough, it's supposed to make it true. We need to stop falling for that trap. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is Denise Simon. 18 hours a day, I live in a world as an intelligence analyst. What I find is reprehensible, what I find is terrifying, what I find is treasonous. The mainstream media has completely failed the American people. So join me for the Denise Simon Experience every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is Donna Fiducia, former anchor at the Fox News Channel and now co-host of Cowboy Logic Radio. And you're listening to America's Web Radio.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. In the break, my producer and I were talking about check the record. You know, forget about what they say on these commercials. Down here in Georgia, we're hearing people who are obviously liberal and progressive saying how conservative they are and how their voting record, blah, blah, blah. Check their voting record. Stop listening to the packaging because it's all designed to make you go to sleep. You know, nothing to see here. We got this. You just keep that in mind. Well, they got this all right. They're going to bankrupt you. God forbid you get sick. You're not going to be able to get better. Your children are being, I don't even think they're being educated. I think they're being indoctrinated. And if you really think about what that school, put yourself in your kid's seat for a second. You may be eating less than 1,000 calories a day. They're in school listening to people badmouth the government. You can't even say God bless you to a student, to your fellow classmate, without being kicked out of school. You can't have a after school, you know, we used to have little groups. So there was an after school Christian group this kid wanted to start. That wasn't allowed. This is not live and let live. But I'm sure if you wanted to start an atheist group or whatever, it would have been all good because it's all about diversity. Well, diversity now means everything except Christian. That's pretty obvious. This is not an environment that's conducive to learning. And then you sit there and you learn that 2 + 2 = 5 or whatever you want it to be. I got a headache trying to understand what was, how to do that math. It was, they are messing up your kids. There's no question about it. They've demonized the history of the country. It's all UN-based. I understand that they actually use some government treaty, you know, government documents. Instead of reading real books, real literature, they're reading things that come out of the government, you know, about climate change, etc. Department of Energy studies. I mean, give me a break. It's time now to be parents again. You need to know what your kids are doing. You need to know what they're doing on the computer. Maybe you need to move it out of their rooms and put it in a common room so you can see what's going on. Because it's not what you remember as kids. They can't even tell time on a clock. It has to be digital. They can't read. They can't write script. They can't visualize when they read a passage because they have their imagination has been destroyed by all this computer. It's the last thing you want in your classroom is a computer. You need to be able to make connections between your brain and your motor skills. That connection lasts longer than something that's flashing at you with a light that you get stimulated by. That's more of an indoctrination than it is a learning method. You know, you're learning by rote. but there's no, how can I put it? Your brain isn't working to get the answer. You're just kind of push A, push this button, get this result. That means you're not going to think about anything very deeply, and that's a perfect voter for these people.
I ask a question only because I know a little history behind it, but there's got to be, I don't know if you blame the pediatricians, the psychiatrists, I don't know, but when you got zombies in school, that before they can go through the day, they have to take their AADH and DHS and all the other kind of medication. You got a kid that's a zombie.
Yeah.
And so they learn just what you were talking about, or they learn nothing, just like you were talking about. But, you know, to have schools that the kids are medicated before they start the class, and the percentage goes up daily.
Yes. And let's be clear, the percentage goes up depending on the socioeconomic status of the child. And there's studies have shown that kids who are on Medicaid, Peach Care, whatever the state-run healthcare system is, have a higher percentage of children on multiple mind-altering medications. They just dope them up. And I can give you a story because I saw a child whose parents, grandparents were taking care of her because the mom, unfortunately, was incarcerated. And this child was on antipsychotics. She was six. She was on about two different antipsychotics, antidepressants, and she was a complete just basket case. And the grandparents themselves decided to clean out her system. Thank God they did, because they got the grandchild back. But what about the parents who don't know better?
I think, I'd argue a little bit with you, maybe it's on both ends of the spectrum, because the kids that are in the affluent areas, their kids are on drugs, you know. Instead
True.
Of taking the time to spank the kid, which the parents would now be in jail for doing, but they take him and say, Billy's acting up, he won't mind, he threw his peas across the kitchen the other night at dinner. So the doctor gives him, you know, gives the parents a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that. You know, it's almost like these drugs today are the penicillin of the 50s. No matter what you had, give them penicillin. No matter what you have now, drug the kid down.
I agree.
Why don't you spank the little shit?
Well, because you're right, defects will come. But, you know, you're right. You get the same result, but different ways of getting there.
Yeah.
So with the affluent crowd, it's cool to have your kid on Adderall and this and that. It helps them study better, all that nonsense. But on the other end, if you don't treat them, defects is coming to you. They visit your home. They decide, if you don't do this, your child will be taken away from you. So it's a different way of getting to the same result, medicating your kid so their brain development is stunted, so that they become less critical thinkers, more drones, more let's follow the trend in the herd because it's cool. I really, to this point, I don't understand how anybody can be cyberbullied. Turn the damn computer off, change your handle, don't go on the site. It's a whole lot different than someone meeting you after school, putting you up against the wall. That's a little bit different. Maybe, you know, you'd get that, I'm going to meet you after class note. It's a heck of a lot different than someone emailing you or putting it on Facebook. Go off Facebook. I mean, is that really so important to you? Is that really now your identity? And maybe it is. These people take selfies. I mean, I saw this thing. Somebody takes 1,000 selfies a day. What are you doing all day? What is wrong with you? Do you need that kind of stimulation to feel good about yourself, some external stimulation, or does it come from within? Apparently not much does these days. But this is a whole society driven by celebrity and cult of personality. And if it's on TV, it must be true. That's the last place you need to think about getting your information from is TV. I mean, it's not, you are not getting anything unfiltered if you're lucky to get it at all. I mean, if you, let's go back to Ebola for one hot second. Another thing that people need to know is that people have died coming off planes, thrown up and passed, just died on the plane. And immediately you're told it's not Ebola. Well, you know what? It takes about 48 hours to do that test. So for someone to tell you immediately it's not is crap. It's not true. And apparently, when they say you can't get it from direct, you can only get it from direct contact. Well, under the CDC guidelines and their paperwork, it's 3 feet is considered contact, less than 3 feet. Not touching somebody, but being within 3 feet of them. Are you kidding? That's kind of important for people to know. And I heard this thing on the radio that cracks me up, but it's true. They make it sound like you have to throw up in a wound to get Ebola. It can't happen. It's just so hard to get. It is not hard to get. It's not. That's why they have bio-level 4 hazard protocol in place when they work with it in the CDC. Underground, behind, you know, air, separate air ventilated systems, positive pressure suits, bleach that you wash your hands with immediately as you're working with a specimen, a decontamination shower, you name it. You take all your clothes off, you put on the special suit before you go in. You don't even take off your rings, your any kind of thing that you could possibly have contaminated and bring back out. They are so afraid that this thing can get out into the community. That's how they handle it. But it's okay to walk in and out of a patient's room, barely covered. They tell you don't double glove. It's bad to double glove. It's bad to do extra precaution. Are you kidding? Really? Let's see you go in there. And then it's okay to use the same blood tubing system to the hospital. It's okay for the same nurse to take care of an Ebola patient and then go out and take care of a general hospital patient. This is so ridiculous on so many levels. I'm just floored that anybody who's an epidemiologist, anybody who's an infectious disease doctor within these hospitals, they don't know. I'm not infectious disease, but I did my reading when this thing started to get crazy in Africa and they decided they want to let people fly at lib. I knew that this was only a matter of time before somebody brings it in. But I thought, like everybody else, they had something in place. Obviously, they don't. And now they're telling people, again, the games have changed. There's only about 5 hospitals now that everybody will be sent to. My favorite now is there's only
five airports.
No, hospitals first. Now it's 5 airports.
But now it's 5 airports.
Yeah, good luck to us, right? So now it's Hartsfield-Jackson, Dulles, New York Liberty, JFK, and O'Hare. Well, I don't remember Chicago having a bio-level 4 hospital there.
Huh.
I don't remember that. I know that probably Johns Hopkins might. I know Emory kind of does. I know the CDC definitely does. National Institutes of Health definitely does. That's where these people should be, in containment. And quite frankly, anybody who's come in contact with them should not be self-quarantining. They should be in a situation where they're isolated from everybody else until you know, up to 42 days. That's how you stop this. All the African countries, Senegal, Nigeria, I think the two that had episodes and it cleared, they did quarantining. They isolated people. We're talking about it. They did it. So for you to say it's okay for this lady to get on a plane, someone should be arrested. Someone should lose their job. You just put hundreds of people. And she called you and told you she had a fever and you said okay because it's not high enough? Who's running the show? Some idiot? Somebody who doesn't read anything? Well, I take exception to them telling me that I have to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm sure. Mark my words on this. If this does come back, because maybe we're getting a lull before we get the other side of this shoe, you know, this boot coming down. If they ever do come up with a vaccine, trust and believe they're going to mandate it. They're going to make us do it. I don't see why they wouldn't. Everything's leading that way, that you don't have a choice. It may not even work. It's maybe not even really documented to be successful. I know they're going to test it out, unfortunately, in Africa. Those guys are the proving ground for everything, apparently. But with a virus that mutates as fast as this does, even if they did come up with a vaccine, it's like the flu. Is it going to work the next time another person gets sick? I don't know that. There's so little that they tell us. They know a fair amount about the virus, but you can only know so much about a virus. You only know when it mutates and what happens after that mutation happens, but you don't know what it's going to mutate into. It's time for everybody to start protecting themselves. And I'm saying it again, you need to have a self-quarantining protocol for you and your family in place. And not for 21 days anymore, but up to 42, quite frankly. If it comes down that you have 10 or more people, and I've heard this, and I think he's correct, 10 or more people with it active in your city, in your environment, you need to start thinking, I need to self-quarantine, because then it's going to get kind of crazy. So if you're actually prepared, you won't be part of the statistic. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is Donna Fiducia, co-host of Cowboy Logic Radio, and you're listening to America's Web Radio, a most eclectic mix of conservative shows.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is what I do. This is what I recommend. I recommend that people go to a site called naturalnews.com. They have like a 13-part seminar, video seminar for free, on how to prepare yourself for any kind of eventual pandemic. And it's not alarmist. It is common sense things that you can do, put into place to start the process of protecting yourself. I mean, listen, I remember when I was a student back in the day, when I prepared for a test and I studied really hard for it, I had no stress, no anxiety, nothing, because I knew that I had prepared for it. Think of this as the same type of mentality. You prepare for what if, so if what if happens, you are good. You don't have to run out with everybody else looking for water. You don't have to, scavenge for toilet paper. You have things at home that you can literally wall yourself off while this madness burns itself out. There's nothing worse than desperation. And that's what I think that they're looking for. They want people to be unprotected, feel like they can't, that they have no power, that they have to look through a central entity to help them. But they're not capable of doing it. I don't want to have to go to a hospital to get anything. They don't have the equipment. They don't have the knowledge base. And I'm probably going to be more at risk of getting something from some sort of, we call it nosocomial infection, which is one of these superbugs that are running rampant in the hospital. The question is, if they can't keep E. coli or MRSA from attacking you in a hospital, how on earth are they going to protect you from someone with Ebola? Their track record is not very good. They haven't even really done drills for Ebola. I think a couple of Emory has, okay? They were ready for it. They were at least in that, that mindset of this is what we do if it happens. But a community hospital isn't. An urgent care isn't. A standard, any other of the, I think there's like 4,000 hospitals in the country, something like that. I'd say 99% of them have no clue. They don't even have the protective equipment. The nurses are telling us this. They've told us, if we listened, that they don't drill, that they haven't been given proper equipment to this, sometimes to this point. They're told to do things that are unsafe. And there's no standard protocol. Each hospital has their own pandemic or epidemic protocol. You can't do that. It has to be something that's standardized. Maybe something has to be, well, if you could trust, a federal response to it that says this is how you do it, and it's a regulation. They love to regulate stupid things, like putting a mark on someone's neck if you're going to do a tonsillectomy. That's not as important as having a standardized protocol. This is the equipment for a pandemic like Ebola that every hospital has to have. You have to drill this many times per year. You need this person in your hospital to be the go-to person who takes the forefront. Something that when things hit the fan, you go on automatic. This is not a situation where you can play, I guess, with. We see how that works. We have two nurses now who are affected when people just kind of winged it. And read. This is now our responsibility. I no longer can depend on the government, my medical superiors, if you want to put it that way, the CDC, the HHS, you know, the Surgeon General is non-existent. None of these people are there to give me as a doctor guidance to protect myself and my patients. What do I do? Do I just say, okay, I'm just going to listen to them and wait for someone to help me? Or am I going to go and read on my own and figure it out? Every American in this country has it's your responsibility to take care of yourself. If you don't, then you put yourself and others at risk. That's what you're doing. So going to naturalnews.com, there's another website, which is a little Dr. Rima's Truth.com, I think it's called. And she has a protocol for using colloidal silver, which has been demonized by the FDA, by the government, etc. But I say read and do your due diligence. It's not a cure, but it's theoretically supposed to inhibit attachment of the virus to a cell and support cell health so it doesn't become so susceptible to the virus. So it helps the immune system, give it enough time so it can do the job to ramp up. The problem with Ebola is that it attacks the immune system so aggressively that it defeats the body's attempt to protect itself. It kills the cell so quickly. So if you arrest it, keep it from multiplying so fast, then your immune system can ramp up and eradicate it. That's the theory. So it's not a cure. And ultimately, we need to stop falling into the trap of if it's a prescription, then it's a cure. It's not. Most of the stuff that people take as a prescription is a controlled poison. That's questionable whether it's been really, really looked at for safety in everybody, because we certainly know that they don't pick everybody in these studies. They don't pick black people a lot. So they don't pick children a lot. And they just extrapolate out to it's safe for everybody. If most medications were safe, we sure as hell wouldn't have so many recalls and so many class action suits. And most of the medicines now that's coming online are combinations of things that have already been out there. This is a total scam. You put two medicines that's been out for 20 years together, call it something new, and then jack up the price. And you go from taking it three times a day to once a day, and it's a new drug all of a sudden, put a new name on it. That's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing for the past, 10 years or so, maybe longer. Not a new, real new medication, especially antibiotic or even ENT medicine, has come down the pipe. They've just made combinations of what's already out there. So stop being so gullible. You have to really start looking at who stands to gain. And if they do come out with a vaccine, I personally want to see that thing tested for years, technically, before they introduce it into my body or force me to take it. That's a problem. So the best offense is a defense. And that means you need to start ramping up your own immune system. We've talked about it on the show before. Vitamin D3 is an excellent antiviral. It helps boost the immune system. Also anti-cancer agent. And most people are vitamin D deficient because they slap on sunscreen, because they don't go out enough, because they have really poor diets. Sunlight is the most natural way of getting vitamin D. Get some sun, half an hour a day if you can. Maybe not put so much sunscreen on. Get your vitamin D levels checked so you know exactly if you're deficient or not, and then replete it. You know, do this from a known point. So ask your doctor. And ultimately, I wouldn't go with the vitamin D that's 50,000 units as a prescription, get it over the counter and pay a fraction. It's more active. The second thing is vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams a day. It's antiviral. It's been shown to kill virus. You know, I would probably stay away from the orange juice as much because it's got a lot of sugar in it, unless you're squeezing it yourself, unless it's organic, or take a supplement. Because if you're trying to lose weight or you have reflux, you really can't do a lot of vitamin C by the orange juice method because it's going to exacerbate other things. But you can certainly take a supplement. Taking zinc, a supplement, once a day. Again, it's antiviral. Selenium, once a day, antiviral. These are things that are cheap, that are easily bought over the counter, and that actually help prime the immune system. Colloidal silver is an option that people can explore. I think it's totally reasonable to take a look at it, and if it's something that you want to add to your system, then I certainly think it can't hurt. It's non-toxic, especially if you get a 10 part per million preparation and take 30 parts per million per day. That's the protocol that's in place to help avoid or limit your vulnerability to viral infection, including Ebola. Making sure you sleep, getting 7 or 8 hours a night. Maybe not, it's not as easy to do for most people, but it's going to do wonders for immune system. You know, getting 3 and 4 hours of sleep a night is not going to work for anybody. At least 6 to 8. Your body will tell you. If you wake up fresh, then that's what you need. If you wake up sleepy, you're probably not getting enough. So you can use that as your guide. And eating a diet that is limited in sugar, because sugar depresses the immune system. So if you have sweet tooth, if you love to eat, you know, drink soft drinks, etc., cut them back, because they're not helping you. Aside from making your waistline grow, they're really making your immune system sluggish. And eating as much as you possibly can, either something that you grew from an heirloom seed that's not genetically modified, going to a farmer's market locally so you can keep your prices low, and if all else fails, making sure you read your label so you stop eating processed foods, especially anything with soy. Unfortunately, sugar beets, I think they're also genetically modified now, and things with corn. That supply is just dead in terms of health. So I would make sure it's organic, and I would stay away from it if I wasn't sure. These are things that you can do to help yourself. Taking a probiotic, that's the last thing. 70% of the immune system is in the gut. If your GI tract is inflamed, you're eating things that are toxic, you're taking genetically modified or eating genetically modified foods with things like Roundup Ready seeds that are literally just bomb your immune system and your GI tract. You can help yourself if you take probiotics daily. So you can actually put in the good yeast and good bacteria to start priming the pump. So you can start making your body a barrier to infection instead of making it a sieve that things just freely hurt you. So I recommend that you go to naturalnews.com. You can follow me on Medicine on Call by Twitter and start reading, because that's your best ammunition to help yourself. And start voting. Make sure that you vote early so you don't end up, if God forbid something comes down the line, we can't vote in a couple of weeks. You want to make sure you put your dibs in now. And I want to thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.